This is Overcoming Learning Problems. Today we're going to talk about sensory integration disorder with Nikki Branch, occupational therapist. Yes, has nothing to do with occupations. This is for children, sensory integration disorder. The OTs are being called on for a lot these days. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. And today, we have Nikki Branch in the studio. Welcome, Nikki.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, it is so great. Nikki is an occupational therapist and knows about sensory integration disorder. This is something I've been hearing about, and I myself have been very curious, so I'm very eager to hear what you have to say.
It's something dear to my heart, so I'm very excited to talk about it.
Well, great. We're going to help some children today. Now, let me tell everybody that you're currently the lead therapist at Milestones, and they have a South Austin location. You're at the South Austin one.
That's correct.
And you're originally from Houston, my hometown. Yay!
Oh, yay!
And you graduated with a Bachelor's of Education in Health Science Studies from Baylor.
That's right. Go Bears.
And a Master's of Occupational Therapy from Texas Woman's University in 2002. And you specialize in evaluating and treating children from birth through adolescence. And you have been you are a Handwriting Without Tears Level 1 Certified Handwriting Specialist, and you hold a Certificate in Sensory Integration. Wow. Now, that's what I'm really curious about. Before we end today, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
But first off, I want to talk about, let's say one other thing. You are a member of Austin Stone Church, so welcome to all our Austin
Thanks.
Stone listeners.
Hello to Austin Stone this morning.
Yeah. So, now tell us what occupational therapist has to do, therapy has to do with children. Because I, in my old-fashioned way of thinking, I'm thinking, well, let's see, children are not needing to go back to their vocations. They're not in the hospital and need basket weaving.
Right.
So what is OT when it comes to kids?
Well, occupational therapy in general just focus on what occupies people's time. So for children, we're talking about trying to increase their function in things like play or school, things they're doing at home like self-care, and it's going to encompass all their roles, whether it be the role as the student, the role as a peer or a sibling, the role as what their parents are expecting. So it's really trying to facilitate that and get them to their max functioning in those areas.
Okay, but you're taking the physical angle, is that right?
Well, we're taking an occupational angle in the fact that we're using activity. So we're using a lot of motivational activities. It kind of looks like play because, as I said before, that's one of their main motivations. A lot of parents will come in and say, is this therapy? It really does look like play. But we're using those tasks to help develop skills. You think about, when you're trying to develop skills as a little girl, who taught you how to skip? And it's kind of something that just happened. Mm-hmm. So we use a lot of the things that you'd find in the store, like even a Twister game, and use that to develop skills that are going to build things like skipping and help them develop the way they're supposed to.
Right. Well, children should be able to skip. What about age 5 to 7 or something?
Right.
But then when you see a child who can't skip, something is up?
Something is up. You're looking at things like motor coordination. You're looking at their bilateral coordination, which all comes from an evaluation process. So once you determine what specific skill area is keeping them from being able to do a skill such as skipping, and you'll also see some other skills in that area, say jumping jacks will be hard. They're having a lot of trouble in PE. Once you've decided that, then you use specific activities that'll help with that. And before I jump ahead, some of the activities that'll help will be some of the sensory integration activities that'll really work on foundational skills, because pieces of sensory systems help develop and mediate certain skills that develop.
Okay. So what kind of patients and what kind of needs are you seeing a lot?
Well, I'm seeing kids anywhere from 16 months to 14 years old, so a wide variety. I'm seeing genetic disorders. I'm seeing things like Down syndrome and Williams syndrome. I have kiddos with anoxic brain injuries, but I'm also seeing learning disabilities, things like ADHD, ADD. Dysgraphia is a big one with the handwriting. Also, the clumsy child or the dyspraxic child is also big. Our generalized sensory processing disorder, and of course, we're seeing a lot of autism.
Right. Well, there is a whole lot. There's a long list. Tell us about this clumsy child. What is that?
That's actually something dear to my heart. I love dyspraxic children. The clumsy child is basically just an overall lack of coordination. You see it with different types of kids. You see it with a kiddo that may have had an extreme growth spurt and they're having to reset their proprioceptors daily, kind of like where's their body on a day-to-day basis. And because of that, they go to execute movements and they look very clumsy. Their body awareness is decreased, so they may look like they bump into things a lot and fall a lot. And so they're just kind of suffering from some decreased body awareness.
Mm-hmm. So this is not just the usual clumsiness that we all feel.
Right.
But for instance, if you have a child who simply cannot keep themselves off of their classmates.
Right.
Something off the scale that.
Exactly. Well, and a lot of these kids, because their body awareness is so decreased sometimes, and because they're not doing a lot of the gross motor skills that they would typically do at a certain age, their muscle tone is decreased. And so a lot of times they're leaning on their peers, literally, in an attempt to gain some more muscle tone and to also just gain increased body awareness.
Mm-hmm. And we see so many problems. You know, we see autism, we know those statistics have increased. The learning disabilities seem to have increased. We see children with all kinds of unusual problems. It's hard to tease out exactly what it is. Do we have any idea why this is?
Well, you're so right. I think that we've seen a decrease in some physical disabilities, like cerebral palsy. We don't see as much anymore. Autism, like you said, the statistics are 1 in 160 right now, and a lot in boys as well. I was listening to some of your previous broadcasts, and I know you've been talking about detoxification and the toxic environment, and I think that really has a lot to do with it. A lot of things are changing, and, you know, even with some of the vaccines that are coming up, even, you know, with not to support or negate it, is the H1N1 vaccine, and that are new, and we're giving it to women that are pregnant and because they're at risk, but we're not sure what the side effects are. So it's hard to say what's nature and what's nurture. You know, there's a lot of things that can go on, whether a woman's on bed rest and their child's not getting a lot of movement in utero. But what is that child's potential once they reach our environment and there's some toxicity in it? So I think it's a combination of both.
Right. Well, and of course, those are important questions, I think, to research mm-hmm. and to consider when we're talking about public policy. But when I'm a parent,
yeah,
the etiology is not as important as, okay, and now what do I do? So what would a parent, if they see their child is having a problem, mm-hmm. what kinds of problems should they begin to think, okay, now I need to see an OT?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think behavior in children is a huge thing. So anytime a child is having a quote-unquote behavior, they're really trying to communicate that something's wrong. A lot of times parents see aggressive behaviors, which is hitting or kicking and biting, which might be a result of just being defensive about some kind of input that's coming into the child. I think any kind of over-exaggeration or under-exaggeration of a behavior in a specific situation or that goes against the child's typical behavior or their emotion at the time would be an indication of a need possibly for OT. For example, a child should go into a birthday party and be excited to be at that birthday party. It's when they're cowering in the corner or covering their ears or wanting to leave and having a meltdown that that there should be concerns are if, for example, they go to that same birthday party and their child might be destructive or is too much on the go and is a little overstimulated at that point, that should also be an indicator. And just in those social situations, just looking at the responses of the other kids is kind of the telltale. Where are those kids along their developmental skills, even if it's just, you know, tying something at the birthday party or how they play a specific game. So I think parents should just look for those kind of red flags.
So about the time that you're ready to tear your hair out, is it time to consult with some sort of professional? And I think a lot of parents are really afraid that if they get a diagnosis, that's a death knell.
Yeah, I think it can be scary, and I think that's where support and advocacy comes in. It's hard when you first get that diagnosis to know where do you go from there. And sometimes, you know, you have to tear your hair out a little bit earlier. Don't wait until you're necessarily at the birthday party. You can look at the kids when they're infants, too, and it's the very fussy infant that can only sleep by driving around the block for hours a night that you have to really say to yourself, something's a little bit different. Maybe I should go and see my pediatrician or talk to somebody about this.
Right, when the child tells you that he or she is uncomfortable. Right, and then the diagnosis can only be the doorway into knowing what actually to do.
Exactly, yeah, right. They're communicating, and that's how they're communicating to you.
Well, great, I think that's very hopeful. Let's take a break right now and thank our sponsors, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about sensory integration disorder.
They'll be glad you did.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory.
Beloved, I really want to get into your hands. My series called Dangerous Times, Secrets to Victory for Parents and educators. If you deal with children or youth, or if you teach in any way, in these days, you need this. You need this. It is a 4-CD set that will release you from the fear and the stress that you are increasingly encountering with teaching today. It will revolutionize your practice. It has mine. It is the Word of God. Please get this. It is 4 CDs for $50. Well, I make them by hand. I have to personally send them out to you. $50. However, I'm going to give you a 20% discount this week. So only $40. Write me. Give me your address as well as the check at The Great Shalom Broadcast Ministry, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
They'll be glad you did.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. I have Nikki Branch. We've been talking about occupational therapy for children. And now, as promised, I want to talk about sensory integration disorder. So what is sensory integration disorder?
Well, we're all kind of familiar with the five senses. We have touch, taste, smell, hearing, seeing. What sensory integration kind of looks at is those senses plus two other senses and how we integrate them and make them work for functional tasks. The two other senses are the vestibular sense, which is basically the sense that comes through our inner ear and tells us how we're moving, if we're moving up and down, side to side. The proprioception sense is kind of what I've been talking about with the body awareness, how our muscles and tendons and joints are interpreting active input. So when there is a problem in any one of those senses, one or more of them, then we have what's called a sensory processing disorder where it's the functional output is not looking like it's supposed to be. And typically from an under or over response to one of those sensory, or one or more of those sensory different categories.
Okay. So a child who's not moving around correctly, mm-hmm. we already talked about that before, but what would a child with sensory integration disorder, maybe what kind of behaviors might you be seeing, say, in a classroom or in a home?
Yeah, well, for the tactically defensive child, you might see, we can kind of go sense by sense. So somebody that's over-responding to touch would be very sensitive to clothing, very particular about tags, socks, walking barefoot through the grass. Going to the beach might not be their favorite thing to do because of the sand and the wetness. And that you would see some behavior, sometimes, like I said, aggressive and hitting and kicking because they're trying to seek out some deep pressure in order to help modulate that input. On the other hand, it's interesting. I just went to the farmer's market the other day and I thought, that's a child with sensory integration dysfunction. Just from looking, she was a seeker for tactile input. And those are the kids, the little kids that you come and you see in costume on a normal day-to-day basis. They love to wear lots of boas and ballerina outfits. And then this particular little girl also had her face painted as well. So just really seeking out that input and not getting enough. Along the proprioceptive input seekers, you see people that have decreased safety awareness. They're really the risk takers. You go to the playground and you have to keep a great eye on them. Whereas if they're under responding to proprioceptive input, those are our leaners. Those are your low tone. They'd rather be inside while their friends are outside playing on the playground doing more fine motor kind of tasks, if they're even having the strength in their fingers to be able to manipulate some of the fine motor. You also have just the kiddos, sometimes some co-contaminant disorders with ADD and ADHD are the kids that are on the go. And so they're really seeking a lot of movement, and it's hard for them to sit at the table, hard for them to stay in circle at circle time because they want more movement. And then you have the child that is really over-responding to the movement. And you get them on a playground, and they would rather be in the sandbox than climbing up on anything because of the fear of the heights. Mm-hmm. So those are some things that parents can look for. You also see it with the auditory processing. I think that's one of the things that you see on a more day-to-day basis when you go to restaurants. A lot of times parents' social interactions are can deteriorate because it's hard to even take their child out to a restaurant where there might be a lot of noise and the child might be defensive to that. What's interesting is a lot of times those kids that don't like a lot of noise like to make a lot of noise themselves. So they're typically very like to make a loud noise with their mouth and are louder, but then cannot tolerate if somebody else is making the loud noise or noises of things like regular day things, vacuum cleaners and things like that.
Okay, so they're having problems processing things coming into their senses. What can you do about those things?
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of different things that you can do. In the schools and different things, I always give different strategies. For the child that's on the move, don't be afraid to change up seating for homework. Schools have gotten really good about movement breaks, and I always emphasize the importance of recess mm-hmm. for these kids and not taking that away from them when and if they do get in trouble during the school day, because it's so important for them to get that movement and the sensory input you get from recess. But I think we need to be a little bit more flexible, whether it's the move and sit discs that, you know, we have at the gym that they can sit and have a wobble seat so they're not having as much movement. Kids in circle time, sitting on something as much as a coffee can helps them to maintain the ability to attend and focus and not seek so much movement. And then on the flip side, you also need to also have some quiet spaces. I think places where kids can really get away from the stimulation of a cafeteria, just some time to decompress, or having a nook in your own home with bean bags or a little tunnel where they can retreat is also good. Mm-hmm. there's different protocols as well out there. Brushing protocol really helps with tactile defensiveness and also with kids that are over-aroused. And it's a good part of a sensory diet of activities for kids to do.
Tell us about this brushing. I've seen children who just love to have the soft brushing. Tell us about
that. Well, I actually brush myself sometimes when I feel a little bit overstimulated. And it was developed by Patricia Wilbarger, and it's actually a protocol. And you use a surgical brush to basically brush your arms and your legs and your back. And the theory is that it releases serotonin into the system. And then after that, you follow it with some deep compressions to the joints, which produces an overall calming effect to the body. It's a pretty intense protocol when you do it by protocol, because for 2 weeks, you're doing it every 2 hours. Which is hard to incorporate in a typical day, but I've seen results even from just doing it 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening with some of the kids, and just being able to kind of ground them.
Mm-hmm. Light brushing, like on the hand or the arm. So this can be very calming. And we have such a frantic, frenetic world.
Yes, yes. Again, that's why I said sometimes if I'm feeling over-aroused, it's amazing. It's kind of a nice massage during your day.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen children who've worn weights, for instance, maybe in their preschool classroom. What's that about?
Well, different weights. There's different kinds of weights. They're like the weighted vests, and that's kind of a grounding thing as well. They also have compression vests, which I think are also great and give you some good deep pressure, kind of like a hug throughout your day. But you can also use weights to increase body awareness, letting the child know which side's their right side. If you're trying to decrease a tremor, you can also use weights as well.
Mm-hmm. So there are all kinds of things, and they can be applied with some faith and some hope these children will get better.
Oh,
yes?
definitely. There's a lot of tools that we can have in our toolbox to kind of facilitate the wellness in these kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, can get you. Okay, well, we will be right back to release of prayer of blessing, but first we want to thank our sponsors.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, "Where two or more are gathered together, I am there." God hears and answers prayer.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website greatshalom.org, greatshalom.org. Get this book.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Celebrate.
Well, this is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and as promised, I would like to release a prayer of blessing. So, invite you to pray with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great intention to rescue, save, and deliver us. Thank you that even beyond that, you invite us into your great project. You are the great parent, and you allow us to participate in parenting. You are the great teacher, and you allow us to participate in teaching. And you are the great healer, and you invite us to participate in and channel your healing. We thank you for that, Lord. And now, as your ambassadors, we send out your word. We break off deception, depression, and resignation. And we send out the spirit of truth, encouragement, and accomplishment. And we speak healing and health. We speak forgiveness and righteousness. We speak salvation and restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So now, write me. Tell me what you received. You can email me at info@greatshalom.org, or you can write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78613. Now, we could get a real prayer party going if you would like to log on to Facebook. There is a prayer room there that says Sharon Sarles GSB Prayer Room. And you may leave your prayer request, your testimony there. Or you can log into the website, click 3 to intercessory team, and find out what we're doing as a team there if you'd like. And would like to invite you to the website. Also, you'll find there my book is available, God Wants You Healed. It's a quick read, but I believe you'll go back and back to it because it references Scripture and explodes a lot of myths about why we have to resign ourselves to being sick. And in fact, God does want us healed, and I think that's a great place to begin. So you can find that at www.greatshalom.org. And please also let us know if you want to partner with us, if you want to get our monthly partner letter. You can log on and pray with us and participate with us in a lot of ways. And we appreciate your prayer support and your monetary support. And I'll quote Scripture once again. Psalms 112 says, "Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely." So we appreciate all those who help us to help children. So Nikki Branch, do you have a final word?
Yeah, I know we talked about support and advocacy, and you know, I belong to Austin Community Church, and I think that the community approach is huge in the healing process. As the body of Christ, I really believe that we are created for community, to really bear up burdens and to help each other endure through life. So as the body of Christ, I think it just really is a biblical community, and within that biblical community, what great healing can happen.
Mm-hmm. Great. I know it sure helps as a mother to have mothers around you and have professionals around you to help you, because parenting is a challenge.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming. Next time we will have Linda Class, who is an expert on ADD, ADHD. And the week after that, we'll have Dr. Pat Seckel, who's nationally known trainer for dyslexia and is here in the Austin community. So you'll want to tune in, tell your friends that what we're doing here. And, you know, our children have so many problems. I don't know if there's a more important mission field. Anyway, I'm blessed to work here for children. I invite everyone else to help into that project. And so this is Sharon Sarles for the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Bless you. May both you and your children increase.
Celebrate the victory.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org. For the Great Shalom Broadcast,